Once again, let us turn to God's Word, to the Gospel of John in chapter number 14. John chapter number 14, and my text, my primary text is going to be verses 12 through 14. Verses 12 through 14. But before we read, let's pray together. Our gracious Father in heaven, we rejoice that you are our God, that you are the true God, Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that you are the God who reveals yourself to us by your word in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we might see Jesus Christ and him lifted up. And so we thank you for this word that you have given to us that we are about to read. These are the very words of your Son. We know that these words were spoken by him while he was on earth doing his great work. And we bless you that we have these words. And we pray that these words would encourage us, shine the truth of your grace and mercy upon our lives, so that we might live out these wonderful truths and promises that you have given to us through Jesus Christ, that we might live these verses out by the power of the Holy Spirit, whom you, Father, and you, Lord Jesus, have given to us. So we give ourselves to you as living sacrifices as we read your word and as it is preached to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, before we read this passage, I would just like to say a few words by way of introduction. Today, at the afternoon service, we will install a deacon and an elder into the Holy Christian Ministry. Deacons and elders, as the Bible teaches us, are fellow workers with God. And this reality, this fact that deacons and elders are fellow workers with God, above all else, gives us the dignity of the Christian ministry, the dignity of being in the position of an elder and in the position of a deacon and in the position of a pastor. Deacons and elders are fellow workers with God. What a joy! Deacons and elders, as fellow workers with God, spend their whole labor in ministry to honor God and to bring people the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the sum of their work. As they teach people, as they lead people, as they do works of mercy, and as they help people, this is what they want to do. They want to glorify God and bring people the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, installing church officers is a grand thing Christ does in his church. And please be reminded of this, that this afternoon when these men are installed, it is Christ's installation. For these are Christ's offices. And it's at times like this that we especially see the ongoing growth and the ongoing eminence of the church of the Lord Jesus. Matthew 16, verse 18 is true. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, in light of this special time today, I mean, every Lord's Day is special. But then there are some Lord's Days that, if I could say, are extra special because of the great things that the Lord does. And so today is a special time. And so because of that, the sermons will be on the church. This afternoon's sermon from Acts 20 will be on church leadership. But this morning I will focus on the church together. That is, on our work together as a congregation. And I'm using as my text John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Let us read it together. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The first thing that we see in this small paragraph is the church worker and his works. And of course, the chief church worker is our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the preeminent main worker of the church. He makes us aware of this when he says in verse 12, the works that I do. So he talks about his own works, the works that I do. At another time, he said, my Father is working until now, and I am working. And on the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus prayed, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And we find that verse in John chapter 17. So you see, Jesus's meat, his desire was to do the work of God, to do the will of God. He came into this earth in the incarnate, as the incarnate Son of God, to do the work of his heavenly Father. Without Jesus' work, there would be no church. So he has the works that he does. What works did he do? What work did he do? Well, he did works of benevolence and mercy. You see, power and compassion characterized the deeds of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was so very, very kind to people. And you know, that's supposed to characterize all Christians. Do you remember what Jesus did in Matthew chapter number 11? In Matthew chapter number 11, verses 4 through 5, we read of this. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Oh, what great kindness and compassion there is in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember how he worked when he fed the 4,000? It says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 32. Matthew 15 and verse 32 reads, now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. What kindness there is, what benevolence there is, what mercy there is in the works that Jesus did amongst the people in the first century when he was here upon the earth. Our Lord Jesus did works of encouragement, support, and teaching as well. Jesus Christ was a genuine mentor. He taught us the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter number 5. He taught us the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I mean, the greatest words of encouragement found for any depressed person, for any anxious person, for any person who is afraid is given to us by our wonderful mentor, our wonderful teacher, the Lord Jesus. What did he say to all of us in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, he did great works of encouragement, great works of support, great works of teaching while he was here upon the earth. Once a lame man came to him, and then Jesus said to that lame man, take courage, your sins are forgiven. Even when Peter was hours away from denying his Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus encouraged him. He said to Peter, take heart, I have overcome the world. And doesn't the Lord Jesus say that to you by his Spirit through his word at times? Take heart, I have overcome the world. And you remember when Thomas doubted? When Thomas doubted, the Lord Jesus came by his side and didn't rebuke his doubt, didn't chide him, didn't criticize him. No, the Lord Jesus, as a wonderful mentor, as a wonderful encourager, as a wonderful supporter, he supported him and he said, Thomas, look at my wounds and touch the wound in my side. Oh, our Lord Jesus did marvelous works of benevolence and mercy, marvelous works of encouragement, support and teaching while he was on this earth. But also while he was on this earth, he did the great work of preaching the kingdom of God. Do you remember Mark chapter 1 and verse 14 through 15? There we read, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Oh, wonder of wonders, Jesus, God in the flesh, came proclaiming God's good news, God's true news, that God is King and that God has provided forgiveness, healing, and salvation to his people. And it's true, isn't it, that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace and joy and holiness in the Holy Spirit? You who are here this morning, who are God's chosen people, who have redeeming faith, who are Christians born again of the Spirit of God, and you know that when you die, you will go to heaven to be with the Lord. You understand that this kingdom of God is a wonderful place of joy and gladness, a place where Christ is King and where Christ is leading you. And this is because of the great work that our Lord Jesus did, the great work of preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. But also, our Lord Jesus Christ did the great work of redemption. He did the great work of redemption. It says in the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 10, verses 12 through 14, here we read of this, in Hebrews 10, verses 12 through 14, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. What a great work our Lord did in offering up himself for the sins of his people. And then it says in Romans chapter number 5 and verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. By our Lord's righteous life and by his sacrifice on the cross, he gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, to give us forgiveness, to give us new life. And now when a sinner repents of his or her sin and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, their guilt is removed. They are saved from God's just wrath. They are no longer at enmity with God, and they no longer have God as their enemy. They are no longer hateful towards God, but rather they love him because he first loved them. And we know that he first loved them by the righteous life and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great work he did in redeeming us. He gave up himself for our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And look, through this great work of redemption that Jesus Christ has accomplished, part of that great work includes preparing a place for his people. We read of that in John 14 in our text. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. You see, this is part of the greatness of Jesus' compassion, Jesus' encouragement, Jesus' wonderful work of preaching the kingdom of God, and Jesus' amazing work of redemption. That part of it, in accomplishing our salvation and adopting us as His children, He has gone to prepare a place for you and me who are His people. But not only that, through this great work of redemption, our Lord Jesus Christ reveals God the Father to us. It says in John 14 and verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." So how can you say, "Show us the Father"? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, that when we read in the Gospels of Christ's great benevolence and mercy, of His great encouragement, support, and teaching ministry, when we read in the Gospel of His great declaration of the preaching of the kingdom of God, and when we read in the Gospels of His redeeming work on Calvary, that as we look at the works of Jesus Christ, we are looking at God. He is the very revelation of Jehovah. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to behold the works of Jesus Christ. For there we see God working. All of us know in the summertime there's construction sites everywhere. And you see these big machines on the sides of the highway and you see the men working upon them. And your children, parents, they stick their heads out the window, or look through the window, I should say. They shouldn't stick their heads out the window. But they look through the window, and the boys especially, they look at all the machinery at work. You see the men working. You see construction happening. Well, you know, when Jesus Christ did His works, and when we read of His works in Holy Scripture, we see God in construction. We see God working His gospel work. And we behold the Father. For the Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. And also, not only through this great work of redemption that Jesus go and prepare a place for us, not only through this great work of redemption He reveals the Father to us, but also through His grand work, the Lord Jesus does not leave His people as orphans. But in His grand work of redemption, and in His grand work of resurrection, and in His grand work of the ascension, which John speaks of in chapter 14, 15, and 16, He does not leave us orphans, but He does one other work. And that is Jesus sends to us the Holy Spirit. It says in John chapter 15 and verse 26, there Jesus tells us this. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And then notice chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the church worker par excellence. He said, "I will build my church." And he is building his church through great works of mercy, through great works of teaching and support, through great works of the proclamation of the kingdom of God. He is building his church through his great work of redemption. And as he does his great work of redemption, still people behold the Father. People know they have a heaven prepared for them. And people know that they have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them to enable them to live the Christian life. Oh, yes, Jesus said, I will build my church. And his works are exactly what our neighbors need. His works are exactly what this world needs. Well, the work and person of Jesus is the foundation of the church, and it's the source of its ministry. Now again, look at our text in John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. This brings me to the second truth. We've seen the great worker in the church. We've seen Jesus Christ and his great works. But now we see this, that we in the church continue the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. What does this amazing promise mean? Well, to get to the meaning, we need to remember that it's talking about our day, this new covenant age. We are not in the Old Testament age. We're not in the time of John the Baptist. We are in the new covenant age. We are in the resurrection age. We are in the ascension age. We are in the age of the Holy Spirit, the age when the Holy Spirit has been given to the church. And so now we, the Spirit-filled church, continue the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ now does his work in the world through St. Thomas FRC. So now in the Spirit's power, as Christ works in us, we offer Christ to the world. And when we offer Christ to the world, we will do greater works than even Christ did. Now, what are these greater works? Well, it's not the saving deed of the cross. Only God can do that. This greater work is not more spectacular works than Jesus. Greater does not mean more spectacular, such as raising a Lazarus from the dead and so forth. Well, what then? What does this mean that we will do greater works than even our Lord Jesus Christ did? Well, it hangs on the phrase and the verse, because I go to my Father. You will do greater works than even I do because I go to the Father. These works that Jesus promised we will do are greater exactly because Jesus has ascended up on high. He would go to the Father. And the significance of the ascension, as we've heard just a few weeks ago, is that Pentecost occurred. Pentecost and the age of the Holy Spirit was then ushered in. And now the Holy Spirit would be present in a powerful, endowment way in the church. And so now the church works in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in his power, the church's work will be greater in number and greater in territory. That is, now Jesus Christ is extending his work upon the cross, his kindness in life, his deeds of mercy and love, his support ministry to more and more people and more places around the world. Now, through the church, Jesus Christ, having been present in the kingdom and the kingdom being ushered in now, he is ruling and reigning at the right hand of the Father through the church in more and more places to more and more people in our present day. It's always through the church. More people are being saved. The Holy Spirit is in more places right now. The Holy Spirit is in Uganda. The Holy Spirit is in Iceland. The Holy Spirit is in South Africa. The Holy Spirit is in Chatham. The Holy Spirit is in St. Thomas. Wherever there is the church of Jesus Christ, there God is present in the church as a witness to the world. Right now, Christ's rulership is being experienced by more and more people, more and more young people, more and more children, more and more adults, more and more aged people are hearing the word of God, hearing the rulership of Christ, hearing his word, recognizing the way that they are to live. They're hearing more and more of his glory, more and more of his love, more and more of his truth, and they're submitting more and more and more. I know, brothers and sisters, in Canada, it looks like the wickedness is winning. The church is shrinking. More and more people are secular. People don't want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. People don't want to go to the mission field. People within the church don't want to go into the pastorate. There's a whole slew of things in Canada that tell us that there's so much evil, and there is. But be not afraid, only believe. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It's not the world that's going to win. It's not the devil that's going to win. It's not untruth that's going to win. It's the gospel that's going to win. We are going to do greater works than even Jesus did in this age, because now the Spirit of God is present and he is working in his way and in his places and in his time. This is what the Bible teaches us. This is an age when the world sees Jesus Christ in you and in me. And God has willed it that through you and me, many people come to faith, and many people are discipled, and many people submit to God. Christ now does his work in the world through the church. And so the work of the church is to offer Christ to the world. So, and here's my application, now we at St. Thomas Church need to do the work of evangelism. Matthew 28 is our verse. The church has been commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We do not know who the elect are, but we believe in the free offer of the gospel. We preach Christ and him crucified and risen, calling upon men and women, boys and girls, to repent and believe. So upon hearing the gospel, the Holy Spirit zones in on his elect and irresistibly draws them to himself. And so God's people from every kindred, tongue, tribe and nation are saved. And of course, the opposite happens as well. People are hardened, but this is part of God's work too. And so we must do evangelism. We must give to evangelism. We must seek to share the gospel in our community. We must pray for missionaries and pray for church planters and pray that our relatives would come to faith in Jesus Christ. We must give ourselves at times to gospel preaching too. That if God gives us the opportunity to share the gospel, let's take the opportunity. We are part of the church. We're spirit-filled people. We are to take the Christ's work and gospel to the lost. Secondly, now the church does the work of edification and support. My family is not Christian. I am the only, well, there's two other people now that have come to faith in my family, a brother and a brother-in-law, for which I'm very grateful for. But I remember when I was a young Christian at age 19, you know, my support group was the church. And since the time that we've been married, it's the church that's always been part of our support group, where I've been able to go and share my burdens, and they've been able to carry them and not criticize me, but edify me. That's what Jesus would do, wouldn't he? You know that you could take any problem that you have and you could bring it to Christ, and he would not criticize you for it. He wouldn't shame you for it. He would not talk to others about it. He would pray for you, and he would speak kind words to you, and he would embrace you. Well, that's the work of the church. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. But you have not so learned Christ. And then he goes on to say that you should put off the old man and put on the new, and now speak comforting words to one another. Not lie to each other. Not be angry with one another. Don't steal from anyone anymore. But don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but yield to the Holy Spirit and love each other as God has loved you. That's the work of the church now. Greater works will we do in the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ did the work of edification. We are to do the work of edification, and we can do it. Not in our own strength, but in the strength of God's grace and Spirit. Please, be an edifying church. That if anyone, no matter what condition, walks into this church, that you will embrace that person and help that individual. At times you'll have to rebuke them for their sin. At times you'll have to bear with their pains and their backsliding. At times you'll have to bear with their bad habits. But love covers a multitude of sins. If there's any place that ought to be loving and edifying, it's this place. This is not the place where there should be divisions and criticisms and shaming. Even when a brother or sister offends, when we do church discipline, that discipline should be done with a desire for restoration, not a desire for shaming. Because you see, we're doing the work of Jesus. And His work is a work of edification. But thirdly, the church does the work of mercy. This is a great thing to have deacons in a congregation. We know what Jesus said in Matthew 25, that if we feed the hungry in His name, if we give thirsty drink of water in His name, then we are doing it unto Him, unto the Lord. We are to do works of mercy, caring for those in need. This is part of the work that we do. And then fourthly and lastly, now the church does the work of prayer. You see, not only will we do greater works due to the enablement of the Holy Spirit, but also because of prayer. Notice verse 13 and 14 in our text of John chapter number 14. Verse 13 reads this. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Not only we do great works in the church because prayers given in Jesus Christ's name are answered. If you ask the Father in Jesus Christ's name to bless the preaching of the church, He will do it. If we ask the Lord to keep us faithful, He will do it. If we ask the Lord to help us grow in holiness as a church, He will do it. If we ask anything in the Lord's name, He will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see why prayer meetings are so vital. Jesus always prayed. His church is called the house of prayer. This congregation needs to be a place of prayer, praying for the things that are according to God's will, for missions, for edification, for mercy ministry, for a pastor, for elders, for the deacons, for people to be saved and be added to the church. We pray for one another. And when we pray in Jesus' name, He will do it according to the Father's will. So in summary, now as we the church live and preach Christ and fellowship in His name, as we give compassion, as we support people, as we live under Jesus' kingship and show people that the answer for their sin is the cross, when we do this by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, then the Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and people's lives will be affected, and the church will grow. And look at how it is growing all around the world. Yes, there are many struggles in the church, but she is still growing. Of course, the elders and the deacons are to live this way. But you see, so are you. The elders and the deacons don't make up the church. We make up the church. All of us need to give compassion, support people, live under Christ's kingship, show people that the answer for their sin is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen. And when we live this Spirit-filled way, God does His work. On his way to Greece in his campaign against Pompey, Caesar tried to calm the fears of his sailors in a storm by these famous words that are written down. He said to them, "Remember, you carry Caesar and his fortunes." And of course, Caesar thought that he was God. Caesar thought that he was in complete control of all the people's fortunes in the empire. Of course, Caesar was completely wrong. These sailors weren't carrying God. Caesar had no power over history and time. But you see, in the case of Christ, it is true. We're Mount Zion. It used to be that the church was called the Holy Ship Mount Zion. We do carry Christ because He desires to have it so. We do carry His Word. We do carry His message by our lives and by our words. And as we carry Jesus Christ in this world, we carry all His riches and all His works into this world. There are cracks, there are downfalls and many fiascos in political systems, in education, in Christless religion. But Christ and His church will endure forever. Actually, the members of Christ's church are used by Him to grow His church and show His glory. That's the only way the church grows. Christ has decreed it, that the church grow through the enablement of His Holy Spirit in our lives. And so are we not glad to be part of a church today? Because we are carrying Christ. Oh, I know He's carrying us. But in carrying us, we carry Him by His grace. And so this afternoon, when we install those two men, it's a blessing to this congregation, to you, that God is still working, and God wants you to still spread the love of Jesus Christ and do the work of Jesus Christ. And greater works you will do because Christ has gone to the Father and has endued us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And now more people are being saved in the greater part of this world. And that will continue until the knowledge of Christ spreads on this world as the waters cover the sea. And then the end will come. And we will see our Bridegroom. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are very grateful to You for this day and thank You for Your love toward us. It is a joy for us to be able to be part of Your church, dear God. It's a joy for us to know that You have given to us Your Holy Spirit so that we might live for You, and that we might speak of You, that we might live like You, that we might show the kind of works that You've done and that You still do in our midst through us. Father, thank You for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And may we not be afraid, but may we yield to Him and trust in Your promises and know that You will do a great and holy work in our midst. It takes faith to believe this, God, because we sometimes see so many things that go against us. But Lord, those things that go against us, they are trials to conform us to the image of Christ so that we might do greater works in the power of the Holy Spirit, being emptied of ourselves, humble, so that we as weak vessels might be vessels of honor for Your glory in the church and in the world. And so bless us to this end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.